declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Tom. Jeremiah 29, and the portion which Tom's just read to us, it brings a confident peace, or it should bring a confident peace, in knowing our good Father has good plans for our lives. He promises us that we have a hope and a future. And knowing this gives us a great understanding of what our future with Christ holds. And we need to understand that that future is always a good future. A good future. But clearly, to live the Christian life, we need to have vision. Vision how to live a godly and good life, individually and corporately. Prayer, as I've said before, surrendered prayer, pleading prayer, crying prayer, will bring a vision that can and should be verbalized and remembered. I want to give you an example of one church's vision. It's a church that I know well. It's an example of one church's vision. Their vision statement says this: to know the love of God and to make him known. To know the love of God and to make him known. There are two elements with this vision statement. One is to know the fullness of God's love within the fellowship, and having achieved that, then to take that love out into their community. I know this church has a heart to build up the love within the fellowship so that when they invite the community to join them, they've got something to offer. Two-pronged approach. This is what this particular church feels God wants them to aspire to. Particularly at this point in their history. That's the vision. And I've always thought that the vision is the easy bit. That's the easy bit, the vision. It's the implementation of that. It's about the reaching out to achieve that. That's where things become more difficult and where energy and resource and discipline is required. But what they need to do, and what all churches need to do who have a vision, is to ask themselves, what strategies need to be put in place? What strategies need to be put in place that will work towards fulfilling the vision? And those strategies form the mission of the church. That's the mission of the church. And they're verbalized in what are usually called mission statements. So you have a vision statement and you have a mission statement. A mission statement, or maybe a number of mission statements, all directed towards fulfilling the vision. I may be preaching to the converted here, but I find as I talk to people that people get very confused about vision statements and mission statements, and And not just churches, but business corporations as well get terribly confused. And some mission statements are vision statements, and some vision statements are really your mission statements. So I apologize if I'm speaking to the converted, but it's good that we all start off at the same place. It seems to me that vision statements are almost semi-permanent. They're semi-permanent, and they may be what God is mobilizing a church to be for many years. Even decades, the vision statement. But missions, the strategies to achieve those visions will change. They'll change from time to time. They'll change depending on time. They'll change depending on resources. They'll change depending on what's worked and what hasn't worked. What needs to be tweaked. What works and what doesn't work. Mission statements, it seems to me, have a time limit on them, or at least a timeline, and they should be reviewed and evaluated regularly. But there's always a direct correlation between mission statements, i.e. strategies, and the vision. There should always be a correlation between mission statements and vision statements. There are many, many, many things that churches can do. Many, many good things that churches can do. And no one church can do them all. But what each church is called to do is to prayerfully seek out with God, what are we called to do at that particular time? What have we got to do? And when a church embarks on a particular strategy, it must say to itself, is this strategy, good as it is it something which actually correlates with the God-given mission statement? It may be great, it may be good, but if it doesn't correlate with the mission statement, then I would suggest you leave it for another time. There has to be a correlation between your vision statement that God's given and your strategy. And as I say, there can be great confusion, not only in churches, but in the corporate business world as well. Vision and mission get mixed up. Put simply, vision is what the organization, in our case, the church, aspires to be. Mission is how you get there. I hope I've clarified that if you were confused about that before. I was trying to think of a very simple example of this, and I've always been interested in athletics. And it came to my mind a young athlete who has a dream, has aspirations to be an Olympian. That's his aspiration. And he has it on his bedroom wall. I'm going to be an Olympian. That's his vision statement. But to bring that about, he needs to implement disciplined strategies. He needs to have a training program. He needs to follow that training program religiously. He needs to do that. And that training program will change as he grows and develops and he matures and he gets better and better. He will change that particular strategy. As he gets better and better, he may decide, go, I need to be really professional about what I'm doing. I need to get myself a coach, a professional coach. And that coach will bring another strategy into being. He may reach a point where he says, I can't do what I'm doing and also work. I've got to leave work behind. I've got to be a full-time athlete. And he needs to seek sponsorship for that. The strategy then becomes finding a sponsor. Can you see how the strategy's changing, but working towards him being an Olympian? And that's the same with all, whether it's business, church, or sportsman. That's how it all works. The vision and then the strategies to get there. The mission to get there. I wanted to spend a little time looking a bit more closely at godly vision. You know, when we think about a godly vision, and when God gives that vision, the vision is often something that seems impossible if left simply to our human ability. I can't possibly do this. Well, he's not asking you to do it. He's saying, I'm going to be with you. You're not going to do it by yourself. I'm going to be with you. You see, as human beings, we can have good ideas. We're built to have ideas. But good ideas on their own, human ideas, will come short. God invites us to partner Him. Good ideas, we have them all the time. Every day we have good ideas. Week in, week out, we dream, we plan, we create and we execute. But at the end of the day, how do we know the difference between a vision that God has given against that which is simply a good idea which we have thought up? How do we do that? Not easy. Because God has given us our abilities. So it is possible to have ideas that are good but not aligned with Him in His plans for this time. There are three ways. Idea instead of simply just a good idea. Three things which hopefully I can explain. A God-given vision is big. Is big. Big. I've written it down in my notes. Heavy, bold print. Big capital letters to emphasize to me. It's big. It's big. Sometimes a good idea comes from our own creative thought. And it's easy to think, well, if we thought that, then we need to risk assess it. As we've been brought up in a corporate world, we'll know that you do risk assessments all the time. And when we do risk assessments, we often think, oh, well, I'm not important enough to pull this one off. We better scale it back a bit. We better reduce its what God's asking us. We're not well resourced. We couldn't possibly cope with this. We better scale it back. You don't know what you're doing. But you know, God's ideas are big, and they're big because He's going to put all of His resources into it as well. So we're not reliant just on what we can bring to it. He's going to bring His resources as well. So if our ideas seem too safe or too easy, we may want to check in with God to see if it really is part of His vision for you and your church. Check in with Him if it all seems too easy, because God's ideas are big. A God-given vision also points to God. Points to Him, gives Him the glory. There's a temptation or maybe a natural desire to give the glory to ourselves when we have a good idea. However, God gives us a vision. The vision is often sometimes that would be impossible. Good ideas of themselves, Lord, us to partnership into partnership with ideas and using them according to His plan. Not to be tempted to take credit for those ideas. Not to bask in our own praise. I'm always struck by the words of Paul in Corinthians 3. He says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember, it's Him who gives us skills, abilities, and opportunities. And He deserves the credit always. Make sure that our good ideas, that the vision always points to Him. And the third point about testing out a godly vision. Make sure that the godly vision lines up with the truth. Yes, God has wired us to be creative, to build and to dream, to lead. But there comes a time when that vision needs to be tested. And making sure that it lines up with the truth is a really difficult thing, really complicated and difficult thing for leaders of a church. Is this good idea from God, or is it just simply a good idea? And leaders of the church wrestle with that. And in such times, they need to turn to the truth. What does God's word say? Is this balanced with God's word? Does this sound gospel truth? Does it ring true? What does wise counsel say? Can we seek out wise counsel? Proverbs 20:21 says, listen to advice and accept instruction that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans of the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So when individually or corporately trying to decide if something is simply a good idea or if something is aligned with the vision of God has given you, seek wisdom. Seek godly wisdom to know this is of God and not of me. Seek wisdom through prayer. Seek wisdom through reading His word and through wise counsel. It's good to seek out people that your spirit tells you are the people who will speak godly truth. There's lots of people who will tell you what you want to hear. Have you found that? You know, one of the benefits of getting older is that we learn so many things that we wish we had when we were younger. But if you want to hear godly truth, seek out spiritually mature men and women. Men who your spirit just tell you that there's just something which rings true about what they're saying. And it may be challenging. And they may tell you what you're thinking is nonsense and rubbish, but they will tell you godly truth. Seek out men and women who will do that, and pray, and read his word. So in conclusion, let me just say, God has wired us with great ideas and great skill. Whoever you are, whoever you are, young, old, educated, not educated, titled, not titled, whatever class, I had a big discussion with somebody recently who felt that Britain was a classless society as compared to their society. Very interesting conversation. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. God has wired you for good ideas and great skill. But it's also amazing that God, this God of the universe, allows us to use that skill to move his story on. To move his story on. His story. His story. His story on. Move his story on. And to move his kingdom forward. That's an amazing thing when you deeply understand that. He's allowed us to be partners with him in moving his story on and building his kingdom. And we need to make sure we are close enough and in touch enough with our big God to know that he can work, that we can work for him. All too often we ask God to work for us. That's okay, he understands that. But in seeking vision and seeking strategies to aspire to that vision, we're working for him. Let us pray. Lord, there are so many things which are amazing about you. So many things which are amazing about our walk with you. So many things which can confuse us, and so many things which we wrestle with to know what's of you and what's not, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll simplify all of that for us. And as Sandy Baptist Church seek their vision for the future, Lord, that you'll speak clearly, and that, Lord, it will be received clearly. It will be received without confusion. Father, we thank you that your goodness is indeed always chasing after us. I pray, Lord, that you will allow you to catch up with us individually and corporately, so that we all might be blessed and be a blessing to those we encounter. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We couldn't end our service without singing.